Tonight, and this series in Proverbs kind of is changing a little bit now, and it's going to be A to Z of wisdom. Of course, I won't preach A to Z in one message, amen. In fact, there's a couple A's that we need to attend to in the book of Proverbs, but tonight is alcohol. What does the wisdom book say about alcohol? Obviously, we'll step away from a little bit from the book of Proverbs to see some other principles. And because my computer froze up, my presentation won't be completely done, but it's probably sufficient for everyone to get just about 75-80% of the message. And of course, you can take notes from there, amen, if you want to do that for the last few points. The Bible's very clear about alcohol. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, tonight we need the direction of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. We thank you for those that can make it out. We pray for those that couldn't, maybe those coming in the way. Certainly, Father, we would love for everyone to hear this message. But Father, you've gathered us here. We know it's your will. And we know there's many things we can learn out of the book of Proverbs. It is a book of wisdom. And Father, help us to take heed to the things that we hear tonight. And Father, just to weigh it out, I know it's getting popular. I know churches even today are teaching that it's okay to drink a little. And so, Father, I pray tonight that we would truly understand your heart, your spirit, your word, and really take a stand for what's right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it pretty sad that, at least it is for me as a preacher, that to know that there's churches who teach it's okay to drink? I really have trouble with that. I'm sorry. I struggle with that because, number one, alcohol almost killed me. Number two, it destroyed my parents' marriage almost. My grandfather died of a bleeding ulcer. He was an alcoholic. I watched him die right in front of me. That's just some personal experience with alcohol. So I just have trouble for preachers who justify drinking. And I think all the justifications in the Bible are very weak. And if we understand the Bible, then we can understand why the proper position of a Christian is to abstain completely from alcohol. I hope that becomes a conviction in your heart and you carry that through your life. So it's an important message tonight. Every message is important, isn't it? But think about our country, think about our world and the dangers. More than 30% of Americans at some point in their lives had an alcohol abuse problem. Just look back in your life. And this is up to date now. I had an older statistic, but nearly 143,000 people die every year in America with alcohol-related causes. This is the NIH.gov. Alcohol is more dangerous than some illegal drugs. They had a marijuana on here, but cocaine, ecstasy, and it should be classified as such in legal systems. I don't think I have this last point on here. No, I don't, but let me state it for you. Alcohol, and some of you that worked in paramedics and so forth and first responders, alcohol is blamed for more than half of all visits to the ER. So what's going on in our world? Half. So the book of Proverbs warns us of the dangers of alcohol with the potential of leading one astray. It's a mocker. It's raging. If you're deceived by it, you are not wise. Let's look at some verses here. Alcohol in the book of Proverbs. Follow along, because this is kind of a topical message, so it has a lot of points. It's not bad to study this way sometimes. Amen. Compare Scripture with Scripture. Proverbs 21:17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. How many drink away their money? Drink away their paycheck? Go over to chapter 23, verse 20 and 21. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. How many businessmen, their downfall, one of the greatest downfalls of many businessmen, many professionals, is alcohol. So alcohol can lead to poverty. Alcohol can destroy lives. Look at Proverbs 23, same chapter. You ever get any experience from this when you were drunk? Verse 29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. How about immorality because of drinking? Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say. I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Is it not deceiving? I'm going to do that all over. Look at all that I suffered from it. Let me go out and do it again. It can destroy like a seductress. Proverbs 23 and 31, it's talking about look at it. Don't look at it. It's going to seduce you when it moves in the cup. Go back to chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, Proverbs still. Chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her hand is bitter as wormwood sharp. As a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Chapter 6, 24 to 26. to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, for by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. And so the eyes, it says here in Proverbs 23:30, thine eyes shall behold strange women. That's what drinking leads to. Immorality. It will also alter your senses. Right here, you know, we could probably preach a whole message right out of this passage. But there's a dozen more at least. It's going to lead you to say things that you're going to regret. How many wake up and says, thine heart shall utter perverse things. And then the next day, they're like, did I say that? What did I say to you? Oh, I don't know what I said. What did I do last night? Man, I know I must have done some evil things, some bad things. And you're just waiting for someone, you know, to tell you all the bad you did and said. It gives you a false sense of hope. False sense of security, I mean. Same passage. You're going to be like, hey, you know, I got this. I'm going to go right out in the middle of the ocean, you know. Let me climb up there and look at me. You think you're controlling yourself, but you're exposing yourself to great danger. Because you got this false security. Yeah, I listened to a singer. And I'm trying to pull his name up in my head. Who's that singer, dear, from Fairhaven? Michelle. Darcell McCoy. He actually is a black brother. He's in heaven right now. But he actually had a professional opera voice, and you should hear him sing gospel. Woo. I feel like pulling it up right now and playing it for you, but I won't. He left his house one morning with his daughter to go to a meeting because he was a preacher and an evangelist too. He actually preached at Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. That's when I first met him years ago. And a drunk driver T-boned him. And he went out into the presence of the Lord. His daughter lived. Family, daughter without a father, and a wife without her husband, and other children as well. See, it destroys lives. It'll destroy both those who drink and the innocent ones who cross their path. That's why I told you that story. The innocent ones. It impairs judgment. Proverbs 31. Let me just put it this way. Let's look at this passage this way. Right now, we are called kings and priests of Jesus. We are kings and priests of the Lord. He made us kings and priests. And you know what he says to kings? He tells it right here. Look at verse 4 and 5. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. See what it's saying? How about, it's really reserved for the dying, because, you know, back then they didn't have morphine. So they could put someone in a drunken stupor because of the pain and kind of ease the pain. It could be used as that way. And that's what it says here. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty. Remember his misery no more. And so it's talking about those who are devastated and dying. It kind of is used to as a medicine and to be under their care there. So don't get justice. You know, what we do is we like, okay, yeah, see what it says here? Give drink to those who have a heavy heart. So that's me. I'm going to go drink now, because that's what, I guess I can do that, because then you just neglected about how many straight commands that are clear commands of Scripture not to do it, not to even look on it, just so you can find a little bit of justification here to go do this. And then the famous passage, I don't even think I have it on here. Maybe I do. Yes, I do. Alcohol and Christ. Oh, here it is. Jesus made wine. So therefore, we should go drink. Because he made it. Go to John 2. I don't really want to study this passage completely, but let me give you some thoughts to consider why I don't believe he made alcoholic wine. And first of all, just so you know, the word wine is in the Greek, oinos. And it is used for alcoholic and non-alcoholic wine. Any product of the grape was oinos. Juice and alcoholic, both. So don't say, well, wine in the Bible is always alcoholic. No, it isn't. You see, if Jesus made alcoholic wine here, he would contradict the Old Testament teaching. You think Jesus is going to do something that the Old Testament forbids to do? Let's just look at the verse 10. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles of Jesus in Cana of Galilee manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, when Jesus made the wine, they served it immediately. That's an important point here. They served it immediately. That means it didn't go through the human process, a long process of fermentation. He made fresh grape juice. The best grape juice ever, amen. And they're like, oh man, woo, this is refreshing. And then this stuff that sits around, you know, it's like, this kind of tastes like vinegar. But no, this is fresh. You saved the best for last. Jesus said very clearly that he came not in any way to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. By the way, those of you in my Sunday school class, we didn't get there, but let's go there now. Habakkuk 2. Do you know another woe? Verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Woe to him that giveth to his neighbor. You're telling me that here's a big gathering at a wedding, and Jesus is going to give out alcohol so that they can get drunk and they can go out and argue and fight and do all these things in the neighborhood like parties do. Jesus did that. I don't know what Jesus you're thinking about, because I know he wouldn't do that. Amen. Old Testament passages of non-alcoholic wine. Just so you know a few of the Old Testament that we can look up. I hope I have these references right. Sometimes I get nervous because I didn't read every one of them. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in the abundance, the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil. The first fruits. This is when they reaped, you know, they brought in that juice from the first fruits of their vineyards. They didn't ferment it. They brought it right in as soon as they harvested it. I think that's right. Yeah. How about Nehemiah 13:5? Nehemiah 13:5. And he had prepared for him a great chamber where aforetime they laid the meat offering, the frankincense, the vessels, the tithes of the corn, the new wine, the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters, and the offerings of the priests. There it is. The new wine. I won't keep going, but the rest of these references also talk about wine that is non-alcoholic. He uses the word wine. So Jesus could make wine non-alcoholic, non-fermented, and give it to the people at the wedding and still fulfill the Old Testament. Amen. Now we get to us. Alcohol and the Christian, this is where, unfortunately, I don't have everything written out here. So it's going to come short on a couple of the commandments that's coming up next. What is condemned? Well, the Bible uses, go to Romans 13, get the context here. Romans 13, 11 to 14. He's saying, brethren, that we are to put on the armor of light, amen. We're not to be doing things, the works of the darkness. And he says, in that knowing the time, that it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed, amen. I like doing this in the service, and then if someone's sleeping, I'm like, hey, it's high time to wake out of sleep. Talking to me, preacher? Yeah. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not partying and drinking. These are works of darkness that we're to put off, it says. Amen. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We know what that means when we read Colossians 3. Amen. Put on Jesus. Amen. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. So drunkenness is condemned. We go to 1 Corinthians 6. And he says to the Corinthians, and see, the Corinthians are used for many justifications, but I'm going to take away this justification. They were carnal. They had divisions. They had envyings. They fought each other in the church. They said, you know, I am this, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am... But one thing they were not. They weren't in church and drinking and being drunkards. They weren't in church. Yeah, they had a fornicator among them and they didn't deal with him properly, but then they dealt with him. Amen. Don't get the picture. Don't paint a picture that it's not. Amen. First Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. This is something that we need today, amen. Because now we have transgender pastors and homosexual pastors. Not just women pastors, which is forbidden in the Bible. Now you have homosexual pastors, transgender pastors. No adulterer, no effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. You were like that, but you're not now. Because ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. First Corinthians and then Galatians 5, we know the works of the flesh. Remember that one? Works of the fruit of the Spirit, works of the flesh. 5:19 says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning this, you can't practice that and claim to be a believer. You have to repent. You have to turn from your sin. Can a believer get drunk? Yes. But he won't stay there. Drunkenness is not the characteristic of a saved person. Just like immorality isn't. Adultery isn't. Or even, it puts it in the same list as witchcraft. You're saying someone that practices witchcraft is okay, they're going to go to heaven? Or someone that's sleeping around the neighborhood with everyone is going to go to heaven? No, you would take a stand there. But what about drunken family members? They're different now? No, they're not. They must repent to be saved. We have to be clear on that. Do not give them false hope. Take them to this pastor. Say, look, I love you. I want you to be saved. You can't go to heaven like this. You need to get right with God. and pray for them. Amen. We know that drunkenness, without going there, 1 Corinthians 11, it goes back, tells us that if a church member gets drunk, it's worthy of church discipline, the Bible says. We're not to eat with them who drink. So this is important, brethren. We must be understanding the scriptures in this matter because it's serious. What about social drinking? Go to 1 Peter. I'm glad you asked. 1 Peter 4. Isn't it amazing that if we just come and approach scriptures with an open heart and open mind, we can find the truth of God and really come to really strong, good biblical convictions. We don't have to be wishy-washy. Amen. Now look at this passage. It says that we are to be like Christ. It says, for much then, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, are yourselves likewise with the same mind. We're to have the same mind as Jesus against sin. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. That's Jesus, amen. He never, never, never sinned, amen. But he suffered. And then it's speaking to us, brethren. That's the idea is Jesus never sinned. We should not just justify our sin. And it says in verse 2 that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. That's us. But to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. What is that will? Here it is. When ye walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, drunkenness, right there, revelings, banqueting, abominable idolatries. Wherefore they think it strange that ye run not well with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. So I believe if you put this context, it says we are to live according to the will of God. We're to live and have the same mind of Jesus, not like the same mind of the world. So we're Christians. We're different. We're not to be social drinking and partying out there. That's the past life. Listen, you would have to kick me out of church if you want me, as your pastor, if you want me to teach that it's okay to social drink. I couldn't be the preacher of any church that said, we want you to teach us that. You'd have to kick me out. So I believe the popular, if you come to scriptures, brethren, the popular and common use of alcohol that the world is saying has no place in the life of a Christian. What is commanded, and this is where my computer froze up, and we could end right there. Don't drink and drop. Amen. Let's go to that passage. I'm almost done. Jeremiah 35, that's where it is. Jeremiah 35. One to eight. Don't even drink a drop. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them into the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Zaniah and his brethren and all the sons, the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chambers of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber, a Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I said before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, pots full of wine and cups. And I said, drink ye wine. But they said, we will not drink no wine. Amen. We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that we may live many days in the land where we be strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, and our daughters. Let's follow that example. Now, I don't want you to drink or live in tents, though. Make the commitment. There are true commitments. We will not drink. Make that decision. Verses 18 and 19, same chapter. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, kept all his precepts, done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Amen. You see the blessing? God blessed them. Yes, it was a test. What are you going to do? You going to stand with the Lord? You going to do what's right? It's a test. I like, we already read our text. Go back to Proverbs 23:31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red. Look not upon the wine when it is red. Don't even look on it, amen? Don't drink a drop. And you say, well, is that good counsel? Yeah. Because it only takes one drop on your tongue to lead you to drink more, to lead you to become an alcoholic. But if you never take one drop, you will never be an alcoholic. It says don't even look on the cup. So don't even refuse to drink it. Don't even look on it. And understand biblically that a culture that drinks freely is a culture heading for destruction. Go to Isaiah 5. These are the last scriptures. Well, no, there's one more and you know it. Probably don't even have to turn to it, but go to Isaiah 5 first, verse 11 and 12. Think of nations. Think of our nation. What destruction alcohol is doing in our nation. Isaiah 5, 11 and 12. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that continue unto night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the viol, the tabret, the pipe, the wine, are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Go down to verse 22 now. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, take away the righteous of the righteousness of the righteous from him. Brethren, this is what it leads to. Destruction of nations. What we need is in Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be filled with wine. Don't be filled with liquor. Don't be filled with strong drink. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. So I ask you, what is wisdom in the light of the problems of alcohol abuse in our society today? Should we flirt with the seducing effects of alcohol? Alcohol can be tempting and easily ensnare the unsuspecting. If 1 in 3 people have succumbed to alcohol, might not we? You want to play Russian roulette? Shall we be insensitive to the weakness that many have regarding alcohol? That's what I'm like. I'm like, here we are, you know, we're trying to rescue people with addictions, and then we're going to say, well, it's okay, drink a little. Can you imagine that? There's churches like that. Alcohol is clearly the number one drug problem we face today. It's really not. That was a long time ago. There's many more drugs. Fentanyl is probably the number one problem today. But if 1 in 3 people have problems with it, dare we become the stumbling blocks to them? It shouldn't take the wisdom of Solomon to see Christian should take the dangers of alcohol seriously and be proactive in helping themselves and others remain free from its clutches. But we have carefully seen the wisdom of Solomon in this lesson, really the wisdom of God. So let us be wise and follow God's word and God's wisdom concerning alcoholic beverages. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.